Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. This is a special edition of Torah. We went through some things this weekend, a lot of technical difficulties that prevented you from being able to hear what I was actually saying. So here we are. We're going to spend some time this week until we get to the end of our parashah for last week, which was Metzora. We're also going to bring some of Tazria into this conversation this week. We're talking about clean and unclean. We're talking about that which is holy and unholy. And we're just believing that the Father's going to release such revelation to us to operate in this hour. When he's releasing a thing to us, it's not for us to just have information, but it's actually for us to have transformation. And so we're excited tonight about just being here and taking this time to go through this Torah Parashat Metzora, which also means leper. We've got a couple of passages that we're going to read tonight. Our Torah passages for tonight are going to be found in Leviticus 14, starting at verse 1 and going through 15, verse 33. Our Haftarah, which is our prophetic passage, Malachi chapter 3, verses 4 through 24. And our good message portion, or our Brit Kadash, is Matthew 8. 1 through 17, and Matthew 21, 1 through 17. We're going to go back to some Tazria portions today, too. So I kind of think we're going to take our time and go from 12 all the way up to where we are now, which is 15, I believe. And we're going to do some reading and do some discussing. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit wants to do this, but I really wish I could capture everything that I was talking about yesterday, just some really powerful things that we were not translating over the airwaves because of so many distractions. But I'm excited in this season to know that when we are considered as a contender, as a viable contender for darkness, that means that he's attempting to prevent you. Darkness is attempting to prevent you from reaching a purpose, from reaching a place, knowing that when you reach that place, that you're going to be even more detrimental to darkness than you are right now. So we're going through these doors in this season. We're going through these doors. There are great and effectual doors before us, but it doesn't come without many adversaries. And so the thing that you're going to have to do in this hour is allow the enemy to announce the potency of what you're carrying. Okay. See what he's doing in this season as an announcement that what you're carrying is absolutely vitally potent, and to get that into the hands of the people that you're in the environment with, or the people that the Father is actually assigning you to these new environments with. The enemy is afraid. He's afraid. So we're excited to celebrate the word of Yah, just coming to the table tonight to assemble for the reading, the hearing, and the reverencing of Yah through the fellowship around Torah. We recognize in this season, and if you haven't yet, you might need to check your son's status card. Because if you have not realized that the way that we live is not just about what we eat, then you're already in trouble. The bread that the Father releases is akin to the water that the Master released at the well to the woman that was at the well, that he met her there to give her this water that would absolutely change her life. And I promise you, if you can get a hold of the thing that the Father is attempting to get to you, the message that he's attempting to get to you in this season, it's going to take you further than you've ever known you could ever go. He's a God that does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even ask. What we think to ask, we don't even have the capacity to ask on the level that he's going to release. We don't even have right now the capacity to even think along the line that he has already thought to release to us. So, Father, we just give you glory right now. We know that there is no other God beside you, and so we just glorify you now, yielding all of our faculties, our mind, our will, our emotions to you, Father, that you would give us the bread that we need to eat. Your word declares that the master taught the disciples to pray for daily bread. So right now, we're praying for the bread that is for this day, the bread that you want to release to us this day to sustain us, the bread that you want to release to us for this day to give us life-giving properties to move into our next day with anticipation of what's next, you know, with an expectation that the thing that you've released in this day is going to carry us over and it's going to give us the wisdom that we need to move in the things that are ahead of us. We give you praise and glory right now, and we thank you for the light of life that you've given us. We thank you right now, Father, that what you put in us was from our very conception, that light, that spark of life that began between the egg and the sperm, Father, that we recognize now that that's the thing that we're needing to cover. That's the thing that we're needing to maintain. That's the thing that we're needing to dress and keep now, this garden that you've given us in our habitation, this temple that you've given us. You're calling us in this hour to protect the temple on all levels. Father, we thank you right now that you're giving us the wisdom to know how to put up those gates, put up those bars, and to keep that thing that's out and open up to those things that should come in. You're giving us wisdom to discern in this hour the things that we should be connected to and the things that we should not be connected to, the things that we should deal in and the things we should not deal in. That's a part of this whole clean and unclean thing. Now, Father, as we open the word today and begin to talk about the skin issue, we thank you right now that you're going to give us the revelation that's present day truth for us right now, that practical thing that you're going to give us to move in that's going to take us from where we've been to where you're taking us. We give you glory and honor right now for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of might, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of knowledge and wisdom, the spirit of counsel. We thank you right now that you're causing us to conquer and that this spirit of Yah that you've given us is a conquering spirit that raises us now to next dimensions, Father. We've decided, we recognize that a decision has to be made in order to go into new dimensions. And so we've decided to walk through the doors that you're opening. We've decided that what you're saying about us is true. We've decided to believe your decree and to restate your decree in the earth that we might deliver by signet of the ring of the king that these things are so. We glorify you now, and we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to say to us and through us, and we glorify you now. Thank you so much, all of those that are watching. I said watching. I did. Listening to us, our listening audience from all over the world, we're excited to have you here. We're looking forward to those that have fallen off to come back on and make this connection with us today. We're going to look at these passages. I want to just kind of read through some of these notes, too, that the Holy Spirit has given me. Because we want to talk about perfection just for a minute. I know we're talking about the leper, but I want to make plain again that we're dealing in spiritual dis-ease. That's what this leprosy of sorts is. It's not a medical condition as much as it is a spiritual condition. And so this is why those that contracted this issue did not go to a physician, but they went to the Kohanim. Okay, they went to the priest or to the priest's son, okay, because they were the ones that had to examine the issue and identify how deep this thing was. And then by examining the issue and identifying the depth or the surface of the issue, they could prescribe what needed to be done with that particular person. And so we're living in an age now where there is no prescribing, there is no prescription for that is unclean. It's running rampant throughout churches all over the world. Just unclean is what it is, and it's a spiritual disease that's contaminating so many people. Religion is a spiritual disease that's contaminating so many. The Father never designed things to be set up to be a religion. He never designed things to be about church. He designed it to be about his kingdom. What does he talk about? He doesn't say, my church come, my will be done. He says, my kingdom come, my will be done. Kingdom is all he was ever concerned about from the very beginning. So when we look into the garden, we look into the Genesis of perfection. Genesis chapter 2, Adam is walking with Yah in the cool of the day. He doesn't have anything that's separating him from him. Nothing is separating Adam from the Father. They are walking in complete fellowship. He's walking in at one. We're going to be talking about atonement this weekend. He's walking at one with the Father. But then there comes something into the garden that begins to talk about something different. And this whole piece about leprosy, it begins and it stems from conversation. It stems as a result of something that's being said. I'm going to make that very clear for you in just a minute. But I'm just kind of giving you some foundation. We're going to do a little bit of reading. I'm not going to try to do it all. That's why I only set an hour for myself, because we're going to be here throughout the week just sharing these dynamics and releasing these dynamics. I don't want anything to be a distraction to us tonight, and I didn't want anything to keep me from releasing everything that the Father gave me on this topic. It's a very vast topic, and it's a very needful place for us to be. We're coming, we're right now in the hour of Passover. We're right now in the encounter called Passover. I want to say this, Passover is not an event. Not a one-time event. It doesn't just happen once a year. It's an encounter. It's a dimension. And you have to make a decision for dimension. It's a dimension that the Father desires to take us in every year. It's an appointed time. It's a Moedim. It's a time that he wants to meet with his sons. And so that Passover has everything to do with the clean and the unclean thing. That Passover was all about deliverance. It was all about freedom. And you're going to find that that's a lot of what we're dealing with right here. And if you have not already connected with me on Facebook, my page is open. It's Apostle Crystal Lee. That's K-R-I-S-T-A-L. You can connect with me there. We're doing all week long into next week, into the 22nd, this conversation about Passover and the difference between Passover and Easter. And, you know, just a lot of dynamics that the Father wants to share with his sons in this hour to just bring us to the place where he is. That's what this is all about. Excuse me. It's about us coming to the place where he is. You know, a lot of times people are looking for the Father to bless where they are. And he's saying, that's not how this works. If you want provision, if you want what I have, you're going to have to be where I am. Look at the dynamic between a husband and a wife. A woman can't say she wants to be married to a man or connected to a man and stay in her mother and father's house or stay in her own house or have her own life. She has to actually abandon the places that she's in to come and be where he is. As a matter of fact, he brings her into his dimension. He takes her away from everything that she's known to bring her into his dimension. Because that's the way she's going to get the provision. That's the place of provision. That's the place of protection. That's the place of security where he is. And it's the same dynamic with the Father. So let's just look at this really quickly. 17:1 of Genesis chapter 17, it says, and when Abraham, I want to go to another dynamic here. We're talking about this whole ability for perfection and walking with Yah. Understand that this word perfection is not about what people think it's about. They're thinking, oh, you never make a mistake. You never miss something. You know, when you miss something when you were a son, that's called a learning process. But we're not talking about people that are living in sin, that have a lifestyle of sin and filth. No, sons are being processed, ever being processed. We are ever becoming the sons of Yah. So when we look at this dynamic here, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, Yah appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God. I'm Almighty God. I am Yah Almighty. I am Shaddai. He says this. That means Almighty. Shaddai means Almighty. He says, walk. I want you to hear this. He says, walk. That word walk there in the Hebrew is halak. It denotes direction and a style of walk. That word means come alongside of. It talks about a manner of life. It says, walk before me, okay, and be thou perfect. That word perfect is tamayim. It means be complete, be whole, be sincere, be intentional. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Completely crossed over. Okay, that denotes something else has come to an end. Something else has ceased and it's finished. Now you have made a decision to operate, to walk before the Father in a different way. And he's provided that means and that mechanism because he says, do what I do. Be what I am.
Now we say, how is that even possible? Because in the beginning, when the Father created Adam, when he formed him, when he shaped him, the Bible declares that he created him in his likeness and after his image. But then there was something else that he did. He didn't just give it a form. He didn't just, you know, chisel it the way that he wanted it to be chiseled. He actually breathed into the nostrils of Adam the very essence of who he was. Okay, which gave him the ability to do all that he could do. It gave him the ability to be who he was in the earth, as the Father was in heaven, to be that in the earth. Okay, and so here's the Bible in Romans chapter 6, verse 2. It says, how can we who are dead to sin live in it any longer? I need you to see the dynamic here. The Father declares all the way in Genesis, be thou perfect. He's talking to a man. He's saying, listen, according to how you're walking, walk before me and be thou perfect. So if it was not possible to do this, then the Father would have never given that as an option. You understand what I'm saying? So in all the way in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, we see the dynamic here. If you are dead to sin, if you've been made dead to sin, that's a decision that you've made to say, listen, I'm choosing a different way of life. You need to understand it's the Father that does the work. All we have to do is agree with his decree. You've heard me say this before. If we're in agreement with his decree, then we're following the way that he's given us. He's always given us every part of the blueprint. He's always given us the dynamics that we need to flow in the way that he's called us to flow. You understand what I'm saying? He is the one that's in charge of the tide. All we have to do is allow him to move us in the direction that he's moving us. You know, the water never decides which way it's going to go. That's left up to the winds. That's left up to the current. And that current is controlled by Almighty Yah. The winds don't just decide which way they're going to blow. And so this is the thing that the Father is bringing his sons into, this dynamic here in this hour. Verse 2 in Genesis 17, let's go back there. It says, and I will make my covenant. Now he tells them how he needs them to walk. When you walk this way, then you're positioning yourself to come into covenant with me. He says, I will make my covenant, my contract, my agreement between me and you, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. See, we're living in an age where people are thinking that they can do it the way they want to do it. They can do it the way that they've heard to do it. You know, we've all got these different cultural dynamics that we're following, things that we've learned from a child. You know, this is the way you do it. You can be anything you want to be in life. Just go and do what you've got to do. And we've missed so many things, like the dynamic between understanding the finality of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. If we understand that and we can give account for that, then we can move into the things that he's actually called us into. Because in understanding that dynamic, we begin to realize and to recognize that we are not our own. And when we recognize that we are not our own, then we are concerned about the one that created us and what he desires us to do and to be in the earth. How should we position ourselves to receive of him everything that we need to be what he's called us to be? You know, when we're the difference between sons and servants, the difference between those who are serving religion and sons who are serving their father, you know, in relationship, true relationship, is the fact that those that are servants of religion are doing to become something. Sons are doing because they are something already. They're not doing to become. They're doing because they are. You understand what I'm saying? So this is really important. He says, I will make my covenant with you, my contract, my agreement, if you walk before me and be perfect. You hear me? 3, and Abraham fell on his face. So there's a dynamic here. I was just talking about it, actually. The dynamic is that the Father speaks a thing. We come into alignment with that thing. And in coming into alignment with that thing, we contract with him, we covenant with him, and then the thing that he promises, he begins to fulfill. Now, once we recognize that we should come into that alignment and into that agreement, it causes us to humble ourselves to what the Father is saying. The Bible declares in verse 3 of Genesis 17, he says, and Abram fell on his face. That shows humility to what the Father is speaking. And after he falls on his face, after he comes into the humble position before the Father, then the word of Yah says, and Yah talked with him. I want you to just see that dynamic, because that's a very powerful dynamic as we're going through this part of the Parashat, this Metzora, and looking back at Tazria. This is a powerful piece for us to understand how to prevent the unclean place. We saw the dynamics in Tazria when it began to talk to us after talking to us about the woman that has the child and how she's to come back into alignment after she's come out of the place where she's carried another life, after she's come out of that place where she's released something, something's been taken from her, virtue has come out of her, she has become a part of something and that thing is removed from her now, and now she has to be reset, restored back to her original place so that she can function and be operable. Okay, so her uncleanness is not an issue of her having been pregnant, having a baby, but it is the fact that she was pregnant and was giving some life, giving virtue to another thing, and now that thing is being removed from her. We were talking about this the other week, the hormones and all of these different things that are operating in those moments that are on a heightened place or in a heightened place. We talked about the mothering instinct, and we talked about that fight or flight thing that happened in the mother, you know, the protection thing, and the love hormones that are released between the mother and the child. That's the thing that gives the child an understanding that they can suck on the mother's breast to feed, you know, all of these different things. And so, you know, when that thing is removed, when that child is removed from the womb, there's a vacancy there, and now that vacancy has to be filled. It's like cleaning a house, sweeping it, garnishing it, and all of that, and not putting anything there. That vacancy leaves an opening. And so what is the Father talking to us about in this clean and unclean thing? There are dynamics that we must adhere to, that we must follow to be in proper alignment with the Father and not allow openings for the enemy to get in. So look at here. He says, I'll make my covenant with you. I'll multiply you exceedingly. Abraham falls on his face, and then the Father talks with him. Okay, we talked about the woman with the issue, so you can rewrite those scriptures. Matthew 9:20-22, Mark 5:25-34, Luke 8:43-48. Okay, now my question to you today, as we get ready to go into this thing about leprosy, the Holy Spirit had me jot this down. Can you eat those words? Okay, because this issue of this skin has nothing to do with a physical condition. It is a spiritual issue, a spiritual disease that is exhibiting a manifestation in a natural realm. It's a spiritual issue that has natural ramifications. Okay, so can you eat those words? We're dealing with a leprous, quote unquote, spirit, okay? And what is the goal here? The goal is on earth as it is in heaven. So how does this leprous thing come into play? It comes into play by words. It's a vehicle. Words are a vehicle to release things in the earth. When we look all the way back to the beginning, we see the power of words as the Father begins to open up his mouth and to declare, let there be, and then there is. So that's the same ability. It's the same essence that he breathed into man. It's the same gift that he's given to man. And so we have to operate from that place with responsibility. Proverbs 18:21 declares that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That section, power of, the Holy Spirit said, is under the power of the tongue. You know how you could put something is under the power of something else? Because it only moves according to what's over it. So we're the one that's wielding the instrument, and the Bible declares that life and death, or death and life, are in the power of, or under the power of, the tongue's execution. I do nothing but what I hear and see my Father do and say. That's the master. I don't speak of myself, but the Father gives me what to say and what to speak. He gives me commandment, what to say and what to speak. This is just foundational. Look at the speaking principle of Yah. And Yah said, and there was. Matthew 12:36 and Matthew 15:18. Accounting will be made based on words spoken. The Bible declares that every man will give an account for the words that they speak. Then it talks about the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And when we talk about heart, we're talking about a depth. We're talking about a core of a thing. So how deep is it will be verified by the Kohanim. When we're looking at this leprous issue, when we're looking at this skin issue, we're dealing with the priest looking upon this issue to identify how deep it is. Because depending on how deep it is or how surface it is, again, they're going to give the prescription. They're going to give the instruction on what should be done. We're going to look at the passage, and you're going to see that they're saying, listen, if it's just arising, if it's just something that's just a scar or whatever it is, a scab or whatever it is, if there is no white in, that goes beyond the flesh and there's not a white hair in it, then you can, you know, there's some things we got to do. We got to look at this thing again. So I'm going to make you, I'm going to quarantine you for 7 days. And after 7 days, if this thing has not moved, then I will either declare you clean or I will another 7 days to find out where we are in this thing. And if we come back 7 days later and something has changed, I can make an identification based on that. But we began to talk about something yesterday, and I want to go to that really quickly. We're in Leviticus. Let me see, Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus 14. And Moses is having a conversation with the Father, and Yah says to Moshe, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. So we've already gone past all of the issues. So we got to go back to chapter 13 where the Father speaking to Moshe and Aaron and telling him about how things are to look and what they're to do based on how it looks. So let's go back to 13. 13 says, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. We went over that yesterday. I'm sorry. You guys didn't hear all of that. So I want you to go and pull out your Strong's Concordance and look at those different words there. Look at the words rising, scab, and bright spot. And it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. That word plague is nega, okay, N-E-G-A, of leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest or unto one of his sons, the Kohanim. Okay, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white and the plague inside be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest is unclean. We were talking about this yesterday, and we're going to talk about this more this week. We're living in an age where there's so much unclean, there's so much defilement in the house, quote unquote, house of Yah. People are spreading these diseases of all get along. They're spreading these diseases of living however we want to live and then justifying and saying God is a merciful God. We're spreading these diseases of unholiness and impurity and then slapping the Father on it as if he's okay with it. And his whole desire concerning fellowship with mankind, his creation, was that there be a purity, that there be holiness. You understand what I'm saying? When we look at that word again, let's go back to what we were looking at. He says, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. That's discussing completeness, wholeness, sincerity. It's talking about crossing over from one place that you were to the new place. Something else has come to an end and something else has began. You ceased to be something else and now you are something else. You understand what I'm saying? So this is important. He's saying, listen, when you look at this thing and it looks like this, call it what it is. Declare, pronounce this thing unclean. Then it says, and if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh and in sight be not deeper than the skin. So here we go. We've got a thing that's deeper than the skin, and then we've got a thing that's more surface, right? Because remember, we went back to bright spot. We went to a rising or a scab. These things can all be on top of the skin, but we're gonna identify them by what else is going on within that area. Is there a white hair in it? Is it going deeper than the flesh, or is it just on top of the flesh, arising? What's going on with it? Okay, so verse 4, if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days, isolate him. See, we're looking at issues in our environment, it's so many things I want to say. See, first of all, church and kingdom are two different things. And we're looking at things in the environment of church that are not kingdom motivated. They're not kingdom. They're not built on a kingdom concept. And so we're not willing to look upon these things and call them what they are. So because we're not willing to look on those things and call them what they are, there's contamination that's ruling in the house, that's reigning in the house. If we name it what it is, we can pronounce the thing unclean and just move on from it. But and then in the case where it's not deeper than the skin, we can look at it and say, well, we need to isolate that thing. We need to put it to the side. There's something going on with it. This is how you should look at everything that you're dealing with, everything that comes across your path that's quote-unquote spiritual. You need to identify it, look at the depth of it, look where it's coming from, look at the origin, look at the spots, You know what I'm saying? And after you've done that, then you're going to need to identify it as something. See, this verse 4, it talks about this is what you do if it's not deeper than the skin and the hair is not turned white. Isolate that thing and look at it again. You know, come back to it. Okay? Verse 5, and the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. If nothing has changed, shut him up 7 days more, because you need to make sure. This is how we should operate in all things spiritual. You know, I talk about this principle, this Abrahamic principle, what's next, God? That paradigm, the what's next, God paradigm. What does that mean? You know, when Abraham was coming out of the place that he was in, when he was being brought out of his father's house, he was communicating with the father was communicating with him and giving him directions, because he didn't give him all blow by blow, play by play for where he was going. He just told him, I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to take you to a place. No, I'm not going to give you all the information up front. You're going to need to follow me. And as long as Abraham was saying, what's next, God, he was good. But the moment he got some information and then he decided to carry that information on his own and to begin to try to actualize and manifest that information in and of himself, that's when he got Ishmael. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's when Ishmael showed up. When he began to do a thing on his own without consulting the Father. See, the word here gives us specific instructions. I believe that the book of Leviticus, again, we're talking about language dynamics. This whole book, Vayikel, he commanded. That's the name of Leviticus as a part of the Torah. It's called Vayikel. He commanded. And this whole book, people overlook this book, but it's so much in this book that's codependent concerning prayer and intercession. It's so codependent concerning worship. It's so codependent concerning the relationships that we should have and how we should relate with the things that are outside of us and the things that are inside of us. You understand what I'm saying? To make sure that everything is coming into proper alignment so that our cycle is not a diabolic cycle, but we're living in cycles of blessing. The Holy Spirit gave me a word maybe about 4 or 5 years ago that your circle creates your cycle. And whatever is surrounding you, whatever you're operating in, that's circular, you know, that thing that you're going around and around that's creating a cycle. If it's not a proper cycle, it could kill you. If it's a godly cycle, then it's going to keep you well. It's going to continue to revive you and to keep you moving in kingdom manifestation and in kingdom actualization. So this is where we are. We got to begin to identify things. And it says in verse 5, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague doesn't move, if it looks the same, if it's not doing anything different, quarantine him again. Isolate him again. We don't like that word isolate. We don't like that word quarantine. But you got to understand that these lepers, quote unquote, these men and women who had contracted this issue because of their mouth, I'm going to prove to you it was a result of their mouth, and just have to come to the priest to identify where they are so that they can prescribe what they need to do to become clean again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at a couple things with me. Look at a couple things with me. We're almost done. We got 26 more minutes. I want you to look at a couple things with me. We've got here Miriam's leprosy. Look at that for a minute. This is in Numbers chapter 12. Let's go there real quick. I want you to see some examples of this leprosy so that you can understand that this is completely regarding the conversation. And once we read through the whole passage, you're going to understand it even more. Right now, you're looking at a shadow of a thing, and it's in seed form. And so we're going to see the full-blown manifestation of that as we're continuing to read through the different passages. Numbers chapter 12, it says, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath Yah indeed spoken only by you? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And Yah heard it. Listen to this. It says that now the man Moshe was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That means he was humble. That doesn't mean he was weak. It means he was meek and he was humble. And so he didn't seek to defend himself. But Yah heard this thing. And Yah spoke suddenly unto Moshe and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He's speaking to all of them. He said, "Come here. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. Listen, verse 5. And Yah came down in a pillar He came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Listen at what he does. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, I, Yah, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in the dark. In other words, it's not going to be in dark speeches. It's not going to be foreign language. You guys are going to be very clear that I'm speaking to him, and you guys are clear that I'm speaking to him, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yah shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Like, why? I don't speak to him in riddles. Things are very clear. He beholds my very form. He is the very image of who I am and what I'm doing. Why did you presume that you could speak against him and there be no consequences? So listen to this. And the anger of Yah was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. What happened here? Miriam began to release a thing with her mouth. She began to say a thing. I promise you, we have been, because there are some things that are reopening. There are some files that are reopening in this hour. A lot of people's files have been closed, but the files are reopening in this hour because people don't really recognize the Father that is a terrible God. They spend so much time talking about how loving, how caring, how compassionate, how merciful, and all that he is, but they don't really know the mercy of God, because to know the mercy of God means to understand that you have to come from the place that you're in and come into his dimension. You want to, you desire. The Bible declares that the love of God, it compels us, that the mercy of God compels us to righteousness. His grace compels us to live right. Are you hearing me? It doesn't cause us to take advantage of the grace. It calls us to come in proper alignment with him. It says that the anger of Yah was kindled, and Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to see this. I want you to read this on your own. I'm going to skip over some verses. I want you to see this. But Moshe began to pray concerning her, okay? But he said, let her not be as one dead, of whom flesh is consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Verse 13, and Moshe cried unto Yah, saying, heal her now, O Yah, I beseech thee. Now, he's a humble man. He's not gloating in her issue. He's not gloating in the fact that judgment has come. Oh, God, help us, because this is the place that we're going to need to be in, because there's going to be much judgment that's given in environments because of the lack of respect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we cannot be in a place that's what you get. Because that's why you shouldn't have treated me like that. You shouldn't have done it. You should have recognized. No, we've got to have this same spirit where we go before the Father and say, I plead with you, Father. I am beseeching you on behalf of them. Don't allow this thing to consume them. Allow them to come back to the place that they should be. Allow them again another opportunity. Look at what the Father says. And Yah said unto Moses, if her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. He said, isolate her, quarantine her. Don't just let her come back in, because she won't get an understanding that she's wrong. This whole leprous thing, this whole issue in the skin, this thing is a spiritual issue. It's not a physical issue. It's a spiritual issue that has physical ramifications, physical manifestation. And when we don't say the right thing, we're releasing things that are causing detriment and harm and damage. But the Father, in this hour, he began to show people, you're saying too much. You're doing too much. I want to go to something really quickly, because one of the things that the Bible declared to us is that we should not bear false witness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not only should we not bear false witness, there was something else that the Holy Spirit gave me. Hold on. Let me look in these notes right here. Let me look in these notes. Give me 1 second. I want to pull this up. He gave this to me yesterday, and I want to pull it up. Give me 1 second here. My God, there is a piece in here. There's a piece in here that he gave me that I want to show you. If I don't find it today, I'm going to definitely find it and bring it to your attention tomorrow. It's a powerful, powerful piece. It's a powerful piece. Okay. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to bring it to your attention tomorrow. But I do want to say this. Whenever one is conceived, there's a proof of conception.
Let's say this now. Whenever one is conceived, there's a proof of conception. For some, it may only be the proof or the evidence of delivery. Because, you know, some people don't even grow. Some people don't even, you know, their stomachs don't move. They just look skinny the whole time, and they don't know until it's time for delivery that something else is happening. For many, it's a growing of the belly. It's a widening of the nose or a changing of appetite. It's new activities, new things that have to happen, like whether it's Lamont going, you're doing different exercise. You can't do the exact same you were doing, but now you're doing exercises that deal in conception and delivery. You're going to water classes because maybe you want to deliver the baby in a natural environment. Just different things, right? At some point, the original principle of Yah will manifest, and that original principle is seed time and harvest, okay? So these changes are not personable notable, but also notable by others that are looking on. So that goes for that pregnancy, but it also goes for this leprosy and this issue, because when we get over into the other chapter, you're going to notice that they are commanded, as we're continuing to read, they are commanded, these lepers are commanded to cover their mouth and to rip their clothes and to look a certain way, let their hair grow out and all that, because they need to be distinctively different from everybody else in the camp. There needs to be something notably different about them, and they have to cover their mouth and begin to declare unclean, unclean. As to identify themselves and to make sure the person that is even thinking to come near them is on alert that I am not clean, and you stand a large chance of contracting what I have if you are not careful not to come into my presence. We don't have that. We don't have that luxury in the body. Well, we haven't had, I should say, where we could identify. But I believe the Father is bringing His sons into a place of greater identification, and that there are those that are rising up in this hour to be the actual king and priest that we've been called to be. We're going to begin to identify things and call it what it is, so that the people recognize the difference between the clean and the unclean. This is important. So these changes are not personal notable, but also notable by others looking on. There's often acknowledgement by celebration when we're talking about delivery or having a baby or, you know, preparing. There's preparation for the arrival by changing and adjusting environment. All of this stuff that we're talking about concerning the baby, that's a natural picture that I'm giving you that even is a practical dynamic to add to this whole leper situation. Everything has to change. It may not be celebration. It may be something else. It may be realization. That's what we're hoping it is. There's a preparing now for the new environment, making an adjustment to being an outcast, making an adjustment to being outside of the camp, making an adjustment to being quarantined and having ripped clothes and wearing our hair long and covering our mouth to declare unclean so people know, don't come near me because I'm not fit for communion with you. We were talking about communication and the power of communication and why and how the kingdom operates. And when we were dealing in Tazria and even this, a lot of people, when people look at Leviticus, they skip over that because they don't have understanding. But one of the things that I was talking through the other week when I was reading through the passages and really just in the presence of Yah and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, I began to say to the Holy Spirit, listen, maybe I don't have the language for this. It's something that's missing. And a lot of times, because people aren't reading the thing as it was written and who it was written for and the culture that was, then they don't get it. And so I begin to say, okay, I understand that this is a spiritual issue, the leprosy piece, the skin issue. But then we're dealing with clothing. You know, we're dealing with clothing, and then we're dealing with a house. We're dealing with bricks and walls that have to be torn out and stuff that has to be scraped and taken outside the camp. And if the place is condemned or deemed unclean, it has to be torn down. If we're talking about clothes, if we take the piece of the garment that's been damaged out, we're looking at mold. This was the word that he said to me. It was a four-letter word. He said mold. I said, okay, I get it. So it's leprous in the skin, or it looks like a skin issue in the skin, but in the cloth, it's a mold. In the house, it's a mold. And these are bacterial issues. All of these are bacterial issues. That means the bacteria is forming. It's taking on a shape faster than its normal rate. And so it's causing an issue. And these are not good bacteria. These are bad bacteria, whether we're talking about the body, the house, or the clothes. I don't know about you, but I've had outfits before that were very beautiful outfits. And you could mess up an outfit if you sweat in it too long. You know, you got to have other things that you put on the skin so that you can protect the sweat from your underarms to that garment. I had a silk garment that I had many years ago, and this wasn't the sweat issue, but I wore it downtown to a musical event
We were outdoors and it poured down raining. I had to take that outfit out and hang it up in a way that it would allow it to try to dry. But the damage, you know, the thing about it being dried was it was shrinking because it was a silk garment. And so I needed to let it dry out because to put it in a bag, to put it in another position might have meant that it might mold. And then once the mold is on it, you can't bring it back. Just like when you sweat in a garment, you know, and I don't care how beautiful the garment was, but if you sweat too much in it, there's a yellow stain that happens up under the arm. And it might be beautiful and it might not smell, but that yellow, especially on white, will change the whole dynamic of the garment. You can't wear that no more unless you dye it. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is the thing. This is how this leprosy, this mold, this is how it affects. I don't know if you've ever been in a bathroom where there was mold, but that mold is either a result of the moisture that's in the bathroom that's not being, or a lack of cleaning, or it's a spiritual issue. I've known people that have declared that there was mold under their couch or mold in a kitchen or mold in a certain spot in their house. And even people that had it really bad in the basement. Those are spiritual issues. If you clean it and it keeps coming back, that's a spiritual issue. If you clean it, that just meant it wasn't clean and you go a long time and then it comes back, okay, that might be different. But if you clean it and it come back again real quick, that's a spiritual issue. And the thing about this issue is that because we've not been trained to identify issues for real, we only deal in what we know, you know, what we can see, what we can, you know, what we can fathom. But there are things that are deeper than the things that we've been able to fathom. This leprous thing, this mold, this bacterial issue, that's a real place. I'm going to read to you guys tomorrow an article that I came across that I was reading yesterday, but you couldn't hear me, about this bacteria that they're keeping on the low that started in Canada. It's a major issue. It's all over the country, okay? And they're keeping it on the hush because they don't want people to be startled. They don't want to make people alarmed. That's what they're saying anyway. But these things are things that we need to know about. But I want to share this with you. Your frequency is everything. And what the enemy wants to do, I was sharing this online today, is to change your frequency. Because if he can change your frequency and bring it to his low frequency, then there can be a frequency resonance. There can be a harmonious sound, a harmonious movement. And when you are harmonizing with darkness, there is something that's being created. What the enemy couldn't do with the master was move him from his frequency. When he was in the wilderness, he kept trying to get him to do something, kept trying to get him to do something that was opposing the very nature of who he was. In other words, bring him down to his frequency. But he could not resonate with him. Therefore, he could not continue to deal with him. He had to leave him for a season. This is what the Bible says, that the enemy, that the devil left him for a season. Why? Because he could not resonate with him. He couldn't produce anything with him because he was not in agreement with that low frequency. But he used the word, which is a higher frequency, the highest frequency in the earth, to tell the enemy, it is written. And when he began to declare it is written and operate in what was written, then that enemy had to leave him alone. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? I'm trying to say, are you hearing me? And do you understand me at the same time? Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you understanding me? There are things that are happening in the earth right now that a lot of people are oblivious to. We're going to do some things in this season that I believe are going to really assist and really help and really aid people to come into the understanding of these diabolic things that are being done that are all out warfare against humankind. We've got to come into the knowledge of these things, because in coming to the knowledge of these things, we can better be prepared. I just declared to one of my elders, she's on the East Coast, I told her, they're getting ready to start doing these test runs again concerning these blackouts. You got to be ready, because they're going to do these things. Go to the ski store and get things that are things that will keep you warm. Hold on, Sophia, I'm almost done. That will keep you warm, because you don't know, you know, what they have the ability to do in this hour and the manipulation of weather. And you go from hot all the way to cold. The winds are blowing at uncommon speeds. This is unnatural for it to go to 50s, to be in the 50s, but be cold. After we've come out of winter, 50s for us is warm, but when 50s becomes cold, that's an issue. Something else is happening in the environment. And so there are things that we have to do to protect ourselves and to prepare ourselves for the things that are to come, and that requires conversation. Tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to share. I'm going to do a little bit more reading. I think I'm going to start out with reading. Hold on 1 second, sweetheart. I think I'm going to start out with the reading, because I want to get some more of the passage in your ears so we can go over this. But we've got all week to get it done. So you guys, I appreciate you being here. I'm excited to be connected with you. And jump on the Facebook page, jump on there. We are doing the Passover piece. so you can see?
Baby.
You want to see the baby? Okay. So I'm excited for what we've got to do this weekend. So we're just going to get it done. If you're being contested, if there's a lot of confusion and a lot of distraction and a lot of things that are preventing you from getting done the things that you need to do, just recognize that the enemy is announcing to you the potency that you're carrying, and just push through. Don't lose your position. Don't move off of your position. Press in your position, just as the master did. The joy was set before him. There was a joy that was set before him, and after he focused on that joy that was set before him, it caused him to finish his race. It caused him to push past how he felt in the moment to finish his race. So come back tomorrow, this same time, 8 o'clock. We're going to do this again. I'm going to get off here because grandbabies are stirring now. I'm going to get off of here, and I only set an hour, so we only got 9 minutes. So I'm going to spend these last 9 minutes with music. Come here, little girl. Come here. I'm going to spend the last 9 minutes with music with you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow. We'll come back and deal with this mezzora, this clean and unclean, this spiritual disease, and how that operates. We'll give you some more passages to help you identify the nature of this disease. All right? I appreciate you. Listen, our mantra in this season is the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. Go ahead and repeat that. Become it and move in. All right? We love you so much. Till the next time, be blessed.